In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak.
This is Prime, the online service of prayer and praise for and from the City Road Chapel United Methodist Church, located in Madison, Tennessee. This service is for May the 31st, 2020, Pentecost Sunday.
Let us pray. O God, Holy Spirit, come to us and among us. Come as the wind and cleanse us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the dew and refresh. Convict, convert, and consecrate many hearts and lives to our great good and to thy greater glory. And this we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
As we stand on your word, Holy Spirit. act of praise for today comes from Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships, and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth as it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
The City Road Chapel United Methodist Church is a faith community located in Madison, Tennessee, whose mission is to grow in Christ and share God's love. We are men and women, old and young, committed to Christ's call to grow in our love of God and love of neighbor. We do that through worship, prayer, study, and service to our community. We want to connect with you, and we encourage you to visit our website at cityroadchapel.org for the latest information on what is happening with our church, to share your prayer requests, and to make donations to our work. Our ministry is dependent on the gifts of those who support what we're doing in Madison. If you would like to make a gift to the work of City Road Chapel, please visit cityroadchapel.org/give to make your online donation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and all gifts are tax deductible. If you have a pastoral need, we hope that you'll reach out to our pastor, Jay Voorhees, at jvoorhees@cityroadchapel.org or by calling the church office at 615-868-1673. The City Road Chapel United Methodist Church has been a proud part of the Madison community for over 100 years, and we are committed to sharing God's light and love in this place for many years to come. Today we're taking a break from 1 Peter to think about the work of the Holy Spirit for Pentecost Sunday. Our scripture focus today is 1 Corinthians 12, 3-13, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when speaking by God's Spirit, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries in the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person. A word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit. Faith to still another by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit. Performance of miracles to another. Prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. As you reflect on the scripture, take some time to think about these questions. How often do you think about the presence of the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day life? Paul suggests that all are given gifts from the Spirit for the common good. What are the gifts that you have been given, and how do they make our church and the world a better place? How do our gifts connect us to one another? So hello again. I just want to say that I'm so happy to be with you on this special celebration of the holiday we call in the Christian year Pentecost. Pentecost is a holiday that happens 50 days after Easter, and it's the traditional celebration of the giving of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. Luke, in his story of Jesus' followers in Acts, says that after Jesus ascended to heaven, his followers gathered for a time to wait for some sort of revelation from God about what they should do next. And they were gathered in this single place when the Holy Spirit came to them, and they were sent out into the world to begin to preach the message of love and grace in Jesus. They had gathered that day because it was the traditional Jewish holiday of Shavuot. Shavuot is the start of the wheat harvest, but it also is a time when Jews celebrate the giving of the Torah to that people. The Torah, of course, was the holy scripture that was given to them, a sacred text that would guide their lives. And what was different for Luke and for the church is that in Pentecost, we don't celebrate the giving of a holy text. We don't worship a holy text. We worship a living Christ who speaks to us through God's Spirit. And it's God's Spirit that informs and inflames us to be able to carry out His love in the world. And so today we're going to spend some time thinking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll get back to 1 Peter next week, but this week, we're going to spend some time thinking about what it means to be gifted by the Holy Spirit. Now, our scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, what we call 1 Corinthians. This is actually probably the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, because we can tell that there was a back and forth in the conversation about what was going on in the church at Corinth. Paul had founded that church. He was the one who helped that church come together and had moved on to Ephesus. But he kept getting reports about difficulties, controversies, divisions in the church, and had received a letter from them asking about certain issues. And so he writes the letter that we call 1 Corinthians back to the church to help them begin to navigate through these divisions and through some of the things that were going on there. I like to think that 1 Corinthians is perhaps the greatest example of Paul's sort of pastoral identity and imperative, because he really understands himself as a pastor. And when he's writing 1 Corinthians, we always have to understand that he's writing to a very specific community dealing with specific issues. Sometimes 1 Corinthians has been misused as a way of sort of generalizing certain things, but Paul is always writing with a particular group in mind in a particular situation. And so as we look at 1 Corinthians today, we need to understand that he's writing to a church in conflict and trying to figure out how to help them live together and how to be church together, which I think is important as we consider the Holy Spirit, because really the gift of the Holy Spirit in our Christian tradition is a gift to the church. Yes, we are individually gifted, which we'll talk about here in just a second, but those gifts are always given, according to Paul, for the building up of the church, to help the church carry out God's mission in the world. And so the Holy Spirit is at its core a gift to everyone, to the entire church so that God's mission and ministry will be carried out. So let's take a minute to get into Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 is perhaps Paul's most clear explanation about the Holy Spirit and the relationship of the Holy Spirit to what he will call the body of Christ, the church. So let's start by looking, first of all, at the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because what Paul says in verse 3 and 4 is that realistically, our ability to walk in the way of Jesus comes solely through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not something that happens through our own initiative. This is something that happens because the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us to be able to walk in that way. Now, in the Methodist Church, we have a word for this that we use. It's a word that John Wesley used a lot that we call grace. In some ways, in the Methodist Church, we could sort of interchange Holy Spirit and grace, because grace is God's initiative, God's work to bring about the transformation and change and the holiness, as we talked last week, in our lives. And in the Methodist Church, we talk about that in all sorts of ways, but the most famous ways that we talk about it are talking about prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. And prevenient grace is the one I think that's most important here. If we really understand that the Holy Spirit is the mover that helps us to follow and walk in the way of Jesus, because in prevenient grace, we believe it's the grace, if you think about it, prevenient, it's the grace that goes before us. It's the grace that is being offered to us even if we don't know what's happening. A matter of fact, for most of us, anybody that's a member of this church, we came to this church for a lot of reasons. Sometimes it's the witness of somebody else. Sometimes it's our parents brought us, even when we didn't want to go. There are all sorts of reasons, but what we believe is that God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is providing those elements, those things that lead us down the pathway towards a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. We then understand that the Holy Spirit, in the notion of justifying grace, is the one that changes us and brings forth new life in us. And then for those of us in the United Methodist tradition, we understand that we're on a journey of faith, that we are, as John Wesley would say, moving on to perfection, moving on to being able to love in the way that God loves us. And that's the process of what we call sanctifying grace, the sanctification that happens. And that solely comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not through our own efforts. Sometimes we think that we're trying to work our way towards a relationship with God, towards oneness and wholeness with God. But no, it all comes through God's gift given in the person of the Holy Spirit. So Paul wants us to understand here at the beginning that everything that we do is guided and led by the Holy Spirit. Our ability to be restored into a relationship with God, to be reconciled to God, comes solely through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what Paul does next is really interesting, because he really wants to focus on one Spirit. There is one Spirit from God that guides all of us. But he recognizes that all of us are different. We look different. We do different things. We have different gifts. And so part of what Paul begins to talk about is these gifts of the Spirit, that the Spirit gifts each one of us in a unique way, that we all are given gifts, but they're gifts that are given for the common good. Now, we might think about our talents and our gifts and say, oh, I'm a good musician, or I'm a good artist, or I'm a good business person. And all of those things are good. But one of the questions we need to ask about those gifts, if they're coming from the Holy Spirit, is how do they contribute to the common good? Because in Paul's understanding, the gifts of the Spirit always are about creating unity, about creating a common identity, about building up the body of Christ, working for the common good of the world. And so we all have a variety of gifts, which is good. We all are different. We're all not alike. There was a music video I used to love back in the 80s by a guy named Steve Taylor, and it was a satirical song about the way the church functions sometimes. And the song was, I Want to Be a Clone. And the whole idea was that Christians were sort of cookie-cutter clones that all looked the same. But that's not what the scriptures reveal. The scriptures reveal that we are all completely different and have differences in gifts and identities and who we are. And all of those are good. They're all given by the Spirit when they contribute to the good of all. And so as we begin to think about our own spiritual gifts, we need to be asking ourselves, how is it that the gifts that I have, the things that I do, that God has given me to do in the world, how do they contribute to the good of all people, of all mankind? You see, the gifts are always in the service of the common good. Now that brings us to the image that Paul uses that I think is just such a wonderful image to guide us and has guided the church through the years. It's this notion that of the body of Christ, that we all are interconnected as one body. Paul understands that this body has a unity. There is a unity that comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is only one body, one Spirit, one God, one Lord and Savior of all. And yet we continue to have our differences, our varieties of gifts, as we talked about, that we all are different, but we can never say, my gift is more important than yours, or I don't need you. All of the gifts, all of our identities, all of our differences mesh together to create a unified whole. And maybe we need to think about that in our world today, because we live in a world in which there seems to be really harsh divisions. Divisions between liberal and conservative, and who you support for president and who you don't, and racial divisions and national divisions. And I think we all need to be asking ourselves, do we allow those other identities, those other things that sort of contribute to who we are, get in the way of our understanding of the unity of all, the unity of Christ's body, but the unity of all of God's creatures together. See, Paul says it pretty clearly. He uses the divisions that were prevalent at that time in Corinth. He says, there isn't any Jew or Greek anymore. That's all been cast aside. There isn't any slave or free. We are all part of the same body, that we are all together in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the thing. I come on this weekend where we are lifting up the name of a man named George Floyd. George Floyd was an African-American man who was arrested by the police, was pinned to the ground with a knee on his neck for many, many minutes, and ultimately, we believe, died as a result of the way he was treated. And there's a lot of hurt and pain and anger related to George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, who was the jogger who was chased down in Georgia. And that pain is real and valid. And we as Christ's body must understand that other parts of the body are in pain. Other parts of the body are hurting. And when they hurt, we hurt. When they are sick or when they're put down, we are put down. Our job as one body is not to point fingers at saying, well, who's to blame, or this is to blame here. Our job is to get in the midst of the pain with those whom we are joined with. If they hurt, we hurt. If we hurt, hopefully they hurt. But we are called as one body, and we can't cast aside any part of it. And if you are a person who thinks you can cast off any part of the body, that you can say, well, we don't need them, or they aren't important to us, then I really have to question, has the Holy Spirit given you a gift? Are you living in the Spirit of God? Now, that may sound harsh, but I'm serious about this sense that we as Christ's body cannot embrace racism or sexism or anything that divides us from the rest of the world. We are interconnected with every other creation of God, and we can never cast that aside. That's part and parcel of who we are as Christ's body. See, these gifts are given not for our own individual benefit. They're given for the good of the world. And so we have to understand that everything we do is not in our service, it's in service of others. That's not to say that we just beat up on ourselves. I know we have to take care of ourselves. But at the same time, the gifts that we've been given, it's not for our own building up, it's for the building up of the body of Christ so that God's love will be revealed. And I think Paul is pretty clear about this when we move to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, where he says, if I speak in the tongues of human beings and of angels and I don't have love, I am a clashing gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all about the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Paul understands that we all have been gifted by the Holy Spirit, but they're gifts given so that we will have love. Love is the core of our understanding of what faith is about. Love is the core of everything that we do. And we may have all the gifts in the world. We may be great musicians. We may be great teachers. We may be able to speak in tongues or prophesy. But if we do not have love for one another and for the world, then it's all for nothing. So friends, as we enter this Pentecost Sunday, as we come together to think about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the relationship of the Holy Spirit to us, I think we need to be asking, is the Spirit moving in us? Is the Spirit speaking so that I will be engaged in the ministry of reconciliation in the world, so that I will be feeling the pain of others in the world and bringing forth God's love as the healing balm in the midst of it? See, if we have all the gifts in the world, but we don't have love, well, then we kind of missed the boat. So may God send God's Spirit to us so that we can speak in the languages of the world, so that we can be inflamed and empowered to carry God's message, so that the world will be changed and be made new.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I us with your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Filling us with your love. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
As we finish up our service today, I want to share a quick story with you. About 30 years ago, I went into a bank, and in the course of getting some cash out of the bank, they gave me what I thought was a $20 bill, and didn't think anything about it. It was in a stack of other $20 bills until I went to a store and tried to use it, and they said, "We're sorry, sir, this is counterfeit." And when I looked at it, I realized that somebody had doctored the bill to take a $5 bill and make it appear as a 20, but it still was a $5 bill. It was counterfeit, and they wouldn't accept it. Of course, I took it back to the bank, and what they did was just collect it and say, "We're sorry, no way we would have done this to you." The reason I share this story is because George Floyd in Minnesota was in a store when he gave a cashier what was understood to be a counterfeit bill, a counterfeit $20 bill. And whereas 30 years ago, nobody called the police because I tried to pass counterfeit money, the police were called. And the next thing we know, Mr. Floyd is on the ground with a knee on his neck, begging to be let up so he could breathe. We need to remember George Floyd today. And we need to remember Ahmaud Arbery, a man who was running through his neighborhood when he was chased down and shot. And we need to remember Breonna Taylor in Louisville, who was asleep in bed when people that she didn't know, it turns out it was law enforcement, but people that they didn't know broke in without any announcement. And in the end, she was shot dead. These are people that are trying to live their lives, and suddenly they're not with us anymore. And the pain that that causes is significant. It's significant because people of color have a much greater chance of those types of things happening to them than somebody like myself. And that's not acceptable in our world. Because you see, in God's kingdom, there is no black or white, or slave or free, or male or female. Paul was clear about that. We all are created in the image of God. And it is time for us to figure out how we begin to deal with this ongoing scourge of racism and the differences in the way people are treated in this country and throughout the world. So I ask you to be in prayer, and I ask you to remember George and Ahmaud and Breonna. Now, in the midst of everything that's going on, to talk about returning to worship at City Road Chapel seems almost foolish. I mean, there are much more important things in the world, but we also know that coming back together in person is very important to most of us. And so we're targeting either June 21st or June 28th as a possible date for our returning to in-person worship. Now, it's going to be really different. It's going to be in the gym to start off so that we can distance people and have folks sit 6 feet apart from one another. It's probably going to be at 9:30 in the morning. There's only going to be one service. We're trying to kind of split the difference between our early service and our late service times. There won't be any congregational singing because the doctors keep telling us that singing is one of the great things that spreads the disease. So things are going to be really different when we get together, and yet the ability to be in the same room to worship God is important. So be watching for more information in the days to come so that we can make sure that everybody's kept safe when we come back together. And if you are not comfortable with that, stay at home, because we will continue to do online worship in one form or another. We also had a trustees meeting on Monday. There's a bunch of building stuff going on. I won't go into all of it, but we are trying to get the carpets clean before we come back together in the gym, and we're trying to move some new tenants in. And so there's lots of stuff happening. And the reason I mention that is because all of this comes with an expense, and we still need folks to give as you are able, because our building is old and there's a lot of things that have to be done to it. And we need all the help we can do to keep that tool for God's work in shape. As we move into our prayer time, we're going to scroll the list of names here in just a second on our prayer list. But I do want to lift up in particular today Miss Emily Stinson. Miss Emily has been a longtime member and teacher in our church, and she was taken to Vanderbilt Emergency Room feeling not very good. She has diverticulitis, and there are some other issues that they're trying to work out and figure out what's going on. But if you would pray for Emily in a special way, given everything that she's going through right now. Of course, we have others, Charles and Ruth and Millie Grammer and others who are wonderful saints as well, who all need our prayers. But I wanted to take just a minute because a lot of you have texted or called me about Miss Emily. So now let's review the prayer concerns in our church and then go to God's altar in prayer. Let us pray. Master of the universe, provider of all, we come today with heavy hearts. The headlines in the news remind us that our world is broken, in need of redemption. We are reminded that far too often we are driven by our own bias to judgment, rather than your call to love one another. There are people who have been left behind, whose lives are at risk while others are not. And we live in a world where the forces of evil continue to create chaos in the world. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times when we fail to be agents of your love and warriors for your justice. May we be peacemakers, ambassadors of shalom, who recognize the inherent goodness of all persons, knowing that we are all created in your image. Be with the brokenhearted, and the sick and the weary. Spread your balm of healing and love throughout the land. And help us to know how we can offer your love in a world that seems so broken. Holy Christ, who came to earth to reconcile all things to God, help our world to experience reconciliation. Help us to remember that we are all your children, and humble us so that we respect the opinions of all, even when they differ from ours. We bring all these petitions before you in the name of Jesus, who took the form of a servant, humbling himself to the point of death, so that all the world might be redeemed, and light would shine in the darkness. It's in his honor that we pray together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Again.
God keep you close to Him. Yes, may God hold you in the palm.